My special guest during our study period will be Timothy Sparks.
The New Testament has 27 books in which we learn about four basic dimensions. First of all, we have Matthew through John, which tell us about the life of Christ. Then we have the book of Acts, which tells us about how to become a Christian, as well as serves as the history book of the New Testament, as well as the establishment of the church. Then we have 21 letters within the New Testament, Romans through Jude, which tells Christians how to live the life they've embraced. Then last of all, the book of Revelation, which tells us about the victorious hope in Jesus Christ. In fact, we learn from Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." And so, from the New Testament, we have 27 scintillating, exhilarating, and fascinating books. When we open the New Testament, we come to the book of Matthew. Bethlehem is the place. And we learn by way of prophecy from the book of Micah a prediction concerning where the virgin birth would take place, Bethlehem of Judea. Though a tiny dot on the map of the ancient world, God's prophet Micah, 7.5 centuries before the birth of Christ, predicted accurately where the virgin birth would take place, in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so we learn also from Jeremiah 31, verse 22, that a strange thing would happen in the land. A woman would encompass a man. A woman would go around a man to bring a child into the world. And so we learn from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then we also learn from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that his name would be called Emmanuel. Jesus, being God, came to dwell among us. We will learn that from John chapter 1, verses 1 and following. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not put it out. The darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not prevail against the light." And we learn that the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the only one of His kind sent from God. And so Matthew focuses in on the coming Messiah, the Christ, the King of the Kingdom. Key word for the book of Matthew, kingdom. Key phrase, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. We learn from the book of Mark about the actions of Jesus. Whereas we could say Matthew was written to the Jews primarily, stressing the kingdom, Mark would be written to the Romans, stressing the actions of Jesus, focusing more upon what Jesus did than upon what Jesus said. We will learn two key words from the book of Mark, the word "and," A-N-D, and then the word "immediately," which the King James will render as "straightway." So that the picture is pretty much that Jesus did this, and this, and this, and immediately He did this. And a great summary statement that summarizes the mark of the book of Mark very well is Mark 7, verse 37. "He has done all things well." The book of Luke was written to the Greeks, stressing the perfection of Jesus. The Greeks had a three-dimensional concept of Jesus, or the concept of the perfect person. They said that the perfect person was perfect mentally, physically, and socially. But the book of Luke has a fourth-dimensional perspective of the perfect person. That four dimensions summarized in Jesus is found, Luke 2, verse 52. "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and and men. And so we'll learn that Jesus increased in wisdom, he was perfect mentally, and stature, he was perfect physically, and in favor with God, he was perfect spiritually, and men. He was perfect socially, perfect in every way. We learn from the book of John that Jesus is both God and human, 100% God, 100% deity, and 100% human. And we learn that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. John 10, verse 10. He came to show us the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. So we learn from that, Jesus being the truth, and Jesus previously stating, John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth must be known and must be attained. We must come to the knowledge of the truth if we are to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, the truth is objective, it is attainable, and we must come to know the truth to be delivered from our sins through Jesus Christ. We learn from John 20, verses 30 and 31, John states the reason for his writing. He says, truly many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Then, of course, from the book of Acts, we'll learn that the book of Acts tells us about the establishment of the church, Acts chapter 2. We learn that it also tells us about the cases of conversion and thus how we can become Christians. And we learn over and over that people who believed the Word of God, once it was preached to them, of course you have to have the preaching of the gospel. And so people who hears, who have to hear, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you have to hear the Word and then believe the Word of God. And then those who believed from the New Testament, they then repented. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told them to repent, and they also were baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And once they were baptized, the Lord added them daily, those who were being saved, Acts 2, verse 47. And we learn from the book of Acts, not only the establishment of the church, but how to become Christians, and then we also learn that the book of Acts gives us the history book of the New Testament in telling us about the establishment of the Church of the Lord in various places like the region of Galatia and places like Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth, where many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18, verse 8, and the establishment of the church, even at Ephesus, the last part of Acts 18 through Acts chapter 20. Then we come to Romans through Jude, 21 letters written to Christians to tell them how to live the life of being a Christian. The book of Romans focuses in on the gospel being God's power to save, and that we must live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17, the thematic statement, in which we learn, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul quotes from Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Habakkuk 2, verse 4, we learn that the just or the righteous shall live by faith. That's quoted three times in the New Testament. One time here, Romans 1, 17, also Galatians 3, 11, and then Hebrews 10, verse 38, in the context of, we are not those who draw back to destruction, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. So Christians must live faithfully to God. And we will learn from the book of Romans about the saving power of the gospel, and then how to put on our work boots to work and to live for God. We'll learn that from Romans chapters 12 through 16, in which we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then we come to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians deals with problems in the church. They had a lot of problems. They were divided. And Paul, in his thematic statement, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, tells them I plead with you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be completely joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. God wants unity, and that unity is to be found upon the Word of God. Jesus had prayed for unity. He didn't pray for unity in diversity. He prayed for unity, and Paul says that he wanted them to all speak the same thing. But with so many religious groups out there who are speaking different things, obviously, they're not all in agreement with the truth of Scripture. But we live in a modern age in which has been called postmodernism, and people start to think that, well, truth is subjective, and you've got your interpretation, and I have my interpretation. But the Bible is not that subjective. God has set forth His truth. He has left it up to us to search for the truth that we might find it, and to come to the knowledge of the truth in order to be saved, and then to, as the writer of Proverbs says, buy the truth and do not sell it. You acquire the truth at all cost, and once you have the truth, don't sell out on the truth. You hold to the truth of God's Word. Jude will say we're to contend earnestly for the faith. Jude verse 3. That means we take a firm stand. That doesn't mean we become contentious. We're always to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 verse 15. But it's much like Ephesians 4 verse 3, in which Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We endeavor to keep or to maintain the unity of the Spirit. God has established the unity, and that unity is established upon the Word of God. God has given to us the directions for unity. We cannot add to it. We cannot take away from it. We learn a condemnation of adding to or taking away from the Word of God, not only from Deuteronomy 4 verse 2, but also from Revelation chapter 22 verse 17. In which we're not to add to or take away from the prophecy of the book of Revelation. That is equally true with all of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we are not to go beyond what is written. And John cautions us from 2 John that we're not to go beyond what is written. Whoever transgresses or goes beyond the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ has both the Father and the Son. 2 John verse 9. So we remain within the limits and boundaries of New Testament teaching. But we learn that the people of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians, were divided. Why? Well, we will learn at the heart and core of all their trouble and problems, they had a lack of love. And we'll learn from 2 Corinthians that they correct some of those problems, and Paul encourages them from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 to give themselves to the Lord. We learn one of the most beautiful verses in all of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." Look what Jesus has done for us. He has given His very life. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, He lifted me. Those are two of the great gospel songs that Christians sing concerning the grace and the love of our Savior and of our Heavenly Father. We learn from the book of Galatians that people must come to God through Christ alone without going through any other channels. The specific channel that some Christians were trying to go through, they were actually falling out of the grace of God, Galatians 5 verse 4, and they were trying to go through the channels of Judaism, that from which they had been delivered and they had been placed into Christ. But Paul says, you who are trying to be justified by the law, you have become severed from Christ. You have fallen out of grace. Galatians 5 verse 4. That verse forever proves very strongly, I believe it's the strongest verse in the entire New Testament, that shows that Christians not only can fall out of the grace of God, but some did. Galatians 5 verse 4. But we learn that Galatians 2, 19 through 21 makes it very clear that if we can be justified by the law, Christ died for nothing. So we can be justified only through Jesus Christ. Belief in Him and obedience to Him. The book of Ephesians deals with the Christ, or with the church of the Christ. We learn about the exalted nature of the church that Jesus died to establish from the book of Ephesians. And we learn from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, to God be the glory in the church through Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. We learn from Philippians about the unity we're to have and the joy that we're to have as being in Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I am absent or am able to come and see you, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel." We learn from Colossians about the Christ of the church. We learn that Colossians focuses in on Jesus Christ. He has the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Everything should radiate and focus around Jesus Christ, the center of the Christian's life. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written to encourage the Christians that Paul apparently didn't have much time to spend with, if you look at Acts chapter 17, and he writes concerning them, but was refreshed that Timothy brought back a good report. Paul writes to remind them of some of the things that he had taught them, and he encourages them to continue in their faithfulness. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are preacher's letters, but it applies to all Christians, in which we are to be people who preach the Word and we live the Word, living up to our faith. The book of Philemon deals with mending broken relationships. Read this one chapter book and you will find a remedy for problems in your own life. And then the book of Hebrews, the exalted state that we have being in Christ. Everything about being a Christian is superior. That's the key word of the book of Hebrews. James is a practical book in the New Testament. It's the wisdom literature of the New Testament. 1 and 2 Peter can be studied together, written to Christians, encouraging them to grow in the grace and knowledge and in the spiritual virtues that Peter mentions. 1 and 2 and 3 John, written to a general audience in 1 John, and then to individuals, perhaps a congregation in the second letter, in which we learn about the love of God, and we also learn about the true teaching that we're to have, and true examples from 3 John. Jude, we're to contend earnestly for the faith. Don't sell out on the truth. And Revelation, the victory we have in Jesus Christ. May God help us to overcome sin, Satan, and ourselves, and He'll help us to come over and live with Him. Thank you for your kind attention, and we hope that you will study the Word of God more as you set your hearts on heaven.